Today with Joseph Prince.
Don't allow yourself to be flattered into good opinion of people. But never allow yourself also, on the other hand, to be criticized, all right, into bitterness towards the person. It still shows you're affected by people. Amen? Learn to be independent and get your esteem from the Lord. Don't be affected by people if you can. Amen? Praise the Lord. Don't let their flattery throw you off and then you start doing things for them or you don't see what they're trying to do. Amen? Jesus is not moved by flattery or censure or rebuke. Amen? He's independent of that. He died on the Passover, rose on the Feast of First Fruits. Can I be good? Amen? And then 50 days later in heaven, He shed forth, the Bible says, Peter says, He shed forth this, which you now see and hear, the tongues and the flames of fire and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. He went to heaven, He poured the Spirit. So He's fulfilling every single feast. It's all pointing to Him. Can I have a good amen? Are you all ready for God's Word? You know, it is also the week of, amazing, talk about seasons and all that, it's also the week of Passover, all over the world. Now, it's not always that Passover falls on a Shabbat, on a Jewish Shabbat. It may fall on a Tuesday, Thursday, but this time around, it falls on a Friday evening, Shabbat. All right? So, the first day of Pesach will be a complete Shabbat day. Now, this is very interesting because we celebrate Good Friday. Am I right? So, the year that Jesus was crucified, we know that it was a Shabbat Passover. And that's the reason why, even when Jesus died on the Shabbat, Passover, He was the Passover lamb. And He fulfilled the Passover. He was crucified. You know that when He was crucified, they had to be in a hurry. He died. They were in a hurry to bring His body down. Because the Shabbat was coming. They had to put His body in the tomb because the Shabbat was coming. And the Bible says that even the ladies went back to rest. And they were very strict about keeping Shabbat. So there was a Shabbat and there was a high Shabbat that week. Amen. Very interesting because Jesus came and fulfilled all the feasts. I should say most of the feasts. We still have three more feasts remaining. In fact, from the first four to the last three is a long period. Amen. The first one is, or should I say three or four? There are seven feasts of Israel. We commence with Passover, which is this week. Amen. The Passover lamb was killed. And then we have the Feast of First Fruits. 3 days after Passover, we have the Feast of First Fruits. What happened on the 3 days after Jesus died? He rose again. The first fruits of all those to come. And then we have the Feast of Pentecost, which is 50 days from First Fruits. 50 days is Pentecost. The word Pentecost is 50. All right? Pentecost, 50. And 50 days, what happened? After Jesus rose from the dead, the Holy Spirit came on the day of the Pentecost, the birthday of the church in the upper room. And then here's where we have a long period of about 4 months. And then we have the other feasts, okay? The Feast of Trumpets. Amen? Usually about September, around that time. And then you have the day of, or the Feast of Tabernacles, Day of Atonement. Jesus came and He fulfilled the first part of it. He died on the Passover, rose on the Feast of First Fruits. Can I have a good amen? And then 50 days later in heaven, He shed forth. The Bible says, Peter says, He shed forth this, which you now see and hear. The tongues and the flames of fire and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. He went to heaven, He poured the Spirit. So He's fulfilling every single feast. It's all pointing to Him. And now, we're waiting for the Feast of Trumpets. Right? Rosh Hashanah. That commences the new year for Jewish people all over the world. When they say Rosh Hashanah, that it commences with the blowing of the trumpet. And with the blowing of the trumpet and the shout of the archangel, Jesus will descend. And we'll be raptured. So it's been quite a period of time. And before they celebrate the Feast of Trumpets, there are about 4 months before that. We are waiting now for the Feast of Trumpets. Amen. Anytime now, the Feast of Trumpets will sound. Can I have a good amen? and then the Lord will come, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. By the way, you're not going up spiritually, you're going up physically. All right, you're going up in your best physical state. Amen. Strong, young, with a heart like a bull. Amen? But don't be a bully. No, you cannot be a bully anymore. You are forever in that beautiful state of holiness, blamelessness. Amen. Perfect. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We all look like Mr. Universe. Not just Pastor Lawrence anymore. Amen? Praise the Lord. Okay, so recently I was invited, just last few days, I was invited by the ambassador of Israel, my wife and I, to attend a special Passover meal at her residence. So there were a number of guests there, and we were invited, and we're very privileged to sit down there. This is not my first Passover. I've attended a few Passovers already. And one Passover, I remember, in Jerusalem, it was a Messianic Passover, which is very interesting. Messianic Passover means they are believers in Jesus, all right, Yeshua. But I've attended more Jewish Passovers, and last week was one of them. And very interesting, this time, I don't know why it hit me hard, that there are some things that I want to share with you about the Passover, that this modern Passover especially. But before that, let's look at the scriptures, because this is the week for it. Do you know this Sunday is Palm Sunday, by the way? During the time of Jesus, it's Palm Sunday. Jesus rode into Jerusalem. Now, there is a prophecy by the prophet Daniel in 400 over years. This prophecy was given to prophet Daniel. And this prophecy is called the most famous prophecy of Daniel, the 70th week of Daniel. All right? Now, 70th week. A week here is prophetic week. A prophetic week is 7 years. 1 week is 7 years. Like when Jacob told, when Laban told Jacob, when he wanted Laban's daughter's hand in marriage, he says, serve for 1 week. Fulfill her week and I'll give you to her. All right? I'll give her to you. Fulfill one week. 1 week is 7 years. And the Bible says he served 7 years. Amen? So your potential father-in-law says, wait for 1 week. All right, don't rejoice if it's Jewish. No, it's prophetic week. So 70 times 7 is 400 and how many years? 490 years. So you study carefully I believe, Daniel 9, the prophetic 70th week, you'll find that there is 490 years to fulfill, to bring an end of sin, to anoint the most holy. Everything wonderful that God wants to accomplish for Israel, He says, will all be done in 70th week. Read carefully. From the time the king edicts, the king edict is to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. From that time, the prophetic timing starts tick, 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 tick. And we know when that was given. It was given on the first of Nisan, which is this month, by the way. We are now in the Hebrew month of Nisan, the Passover month. All right? And when the clock starts ticking from there, it went all the way to the time of Jesus. Now, if we know when the edict was given, and we know it because of Nehemiah chapter 2, King Artaxerxes of Persia decreed that the walls of Jerusalem will be rebuilt. Amen? The city will be rebuilt, but specifically the walls. And King Artaxerxes the First, he made the decree. He's mentioned in Nehemiah 2, and the edict was given. From that time, you start to, and it's after Daniel. You start counting exactly from that day, all right, 440 over BC to 1st of Nisan. You count all the way, all right, because we don't have time to do this. This is not my purpose. This is not my sermon also, talking about this day. You'll come exactly to, you know what day? 10th of Nisan, okay? 483, it says 483 years in the middle of this week, the Messiah is cut off. And you know that he was crucified. He died. But not for himself. The prophecy said not for himself. He died for us. Wow. Amen? The moment he died, the prophetic time clock stopped. There is exactly one more week left. So there is 7 years left. That means 490, you minus 7 years, you have 483 years. So 483 years have come and gone in the prophetic time clock. And then it stopped with the death of Jesus. And this gap has brought in the dispensation of grace, the church of Jesus Christ. It's like a parenthesis. God stopped. He's dealing with the nation of Israel, then stop, because Christ was rejected. And the prophecy says he shall have nothing from Israel. They rejected him. And listen, from that time onwards, there's still one more week. And that's why the book of Revelation, you read carefully, for the most of it, it's all about the last week, 7 years of tribulation. Do you understand? In terms of the Jewish perspective, all right, the prophetic perspective of the Bible. So there's still 7 years left, but we won't be in the 7 years. If you want to, you insist, you subscribe to the kind of teaching, never mind, help yourself. Amen? But we know from the scriptures that we are not appointed to the day of wrath. And this is the year of wrath, all right, the time of wrath. So I said just now, if you know the time, the day of the edict, and all the way you count the number of, you times 483 years and all that, you give one leap year, count a few leap years, and then rather consider the fact that zero BC doesn't count in, minus that, minus one, you come exactly to one day. You know what day is it? You know what day is it? On the 10th of Nisan, 32 AD. What happened on that day? Because we know when Tiberius, the Emperor Tiberius, was instituted. We know when, from that date. We know that it's 32 AD. That year, that day, somebody rode a donkey into Jerusalem. Exactly to the day. And that's when they rejected him. It's very sad that the king of Israel came and only young children were screaming out, "Hosanna to the Son of David." And with some people from Galilee who saw his miracles, these uneducated Galileans, that's how they are looked upon by the Jerusalemites. And then, and also the Greeks. The Greeks came to the feast looking for, saying, "Sir, we would see Jesus." So sad that people who are supposed to receive him did not receive him. And the Bible says he went in, he was rejected. The prophetic time clock stopped that following week when he died. You understand? Are you with me so far? So the triumphant entry was the king of Israel coming, and Jesus wept. When he came to the mountain of Mount of Olives, he looked at the temple and he wept. And there are a few words in the Greek for weeping. One is that, you know, Jesus was at Lazarus' tomb and he wept. That was a soft weeping, tears flowing down his cheek. But this was strong weeping. He was lit on donkey, and imagine a king, right, being shouted and praised and celebrated. And he looked and he wept. And this weeping was strong weeping. He wept because he saw what their rejection would bring upon them and their children. He says, "If you only knew the time of your visitation." They should have known because they have the prophetic scriptures. But now these things are hidden from you. And now armies will come and they will set their siege and trench around you. They won't spare. And he's not talking just about AD 70 when the Romans came, destroyed Jerusalem. I believe prophetically he saw the sufferings, all right, of the Jewish people in the future. And he says, "How I wish I would have gathered you under my wings and you would not." Remember this, God loves Israel. And see the heart, he's not just crying tears, all right? It is literally sobbing, you know, body shaking, sobbing over Israel. How his heart broke with Israel. And then he told Israel this, "Your house is now left to you desolate." It's no more the house of God. It is your house. It's left to you desolate. And then he went into the temple, and the first thing he did was to cleanse the temple. Amen. "Make not my father's house a house of merchandise." And they came down there. Their heart is not for God anymore. They are just there to make money. And then Jesus cleansed them and cleansed the temple and drove them out. Now, let me tell you this. A weak person cannot do that. You cannot separate people from their money. It takes a strong person to do that. And Jesus, you know, Jesus made a scourge and he drove them all out single-handedly. It all happened this week. Okay, he rode in on the 10th of Nisan. By the way, I studied the 10th of Nisan. I just found out yesterday. I was just intrigued by the 10th of Nisan. And I studied, you know, when Joshua and his men crossed the River Jordan? 10 of Nisan. And that's why now in Israel, the Jordan River is overflowing, because the Bible says of Joshua that the Jordan River overflows its banks during harvest time. It's harvest time. Amen. But back then, the river was much larger. They have diverted a lot of water from River Jordan. So even now, it's still overflowing, but it's not as large as Joshua's time. God did a miracle and they went on as on dry ground. Wow. You're listening, people. Amen. So it's the first time after 40 years they stepped foot on Israel ground. The ground that was promised them. Amen. Moses just died. He didn't make it to the promised land, but he didn't make it to the mountain of the promised land, Mount Hermon, where Jesus was transfigured. He was there. So don't pity Moses so much. Anyway, back to the Palm Sunday, the people were worshiping him and all that. You know, most people be flattered and all that, but his heart is for Israel. He's independent of flattery. One mark of a mature person is that he's independent of flattery. You don't see flattery changing his view. Sometimes I see a mutual admiration society. This person introduced me. This person is praising me up and down. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm not that good yet. You know, it's like the guy is after. I feel like thinking, well, what is this guy after? You know, I'm not the kind of person that, whoa, so true. I always think, what is this guy after? You know, I mean, compliment is one thing, but you start flattering, something else. Amen. Don't allow yourself to be flattered into good opinion of people. But never allow yourself also, on the other hand, to be criticized, all right, into bitterness towards the person. It still shows you're affected by people. Amen? Learn to be independent and get your esteem from the Lord. And all the people said, Okay, the amen can be stronger, right? Come on, preach it, Pastor Prince. Here's what he said. Preach it, Pastor Prince. Come on. Preach it, Pastor Prince. Come on, Pastor. My mother-in-law is here. Come on. I want her to know I'm not criticized to the point of having a bitter heart towards her no more. Amen. So don't be affected by people if you can. Amen. Praise the Lord. Don't let their flattery throw you off and then you start doing things for them or you don't see what they're trying to do. Amen. Jesus is not moved by flattery or censure or rebuke. Amen. He's independent of that. Riding on a donkey, he can cry in the midst of people praising you, celebrating you. Some of you're going to cry, you cannot cry. Maybe I cry later. Pastor Prince cannot come out. My tear drop. All right, do the drama one. My memory. Then the tear drop slowly. You know? I know nowadays no more that kind of song, but I don't know what they have nowadays. Anyway, praise the Lord. So he rode in and it was for 4 days in the temple, he was being interrogated. They came to him and say, by what authority do you do these things? Cleansing the temple. By what authority do you do these things? Jesus stood up and Jesus says to them, you know, I will answer you. I will answer you. You tell me by what authority did John the Baptist, Jesus' forerunner, his authority, did it come from God or from man? So the Pharisee says, let us discuss first. So they discuss. If we say that John is from God, he will say, why don't you believe him? Because John says he's the Lamb of God. Jesus is the Lamb of God. But if we say that he's not from God, from man, a lot of John's disciples are there. And they won't vote for us anymore. Or they will come against us. So you know what? We don't know. We don't have the answer to that. Then Jesus says, neither do I tell you by what authority I do these things. So they were examining the Lamb. So when you first receive the Lamb will be examined. Okay, in the house of Israel. Exodus 12, the first institution of the Passover, God says, the lamb, take a lamb on the 10th day of Nisan. It'll be killed on the 14th, but on the 10th day of Nisan, take a lamb of 1 year old, and then, it's a very cute lamb, by the way. It's not a sheep, it's a lamb. Imagine, a lamb conquered, not a sheep. Jesus not introduced as a sheep. Introduced as a lamb. We are sheep, right? Mature. God calls us sheep, right? And yet, all we like sheep gone astray. We didn't go astray as lambs. Don't think just because you have grown somewhat in the Christian life, all right, you cannot go astray. All we like sheep, not like lambs, has gone astray. Amen. So, when they prepare that lamb in the house, of course, the children grows they will grow attached and to the lamb, and they will love the lamb. Am I right? It's a very adorable lamb, lamb of the first year. Amen. It's very cuddly. It's very beautiful. But then, listen carefully. They only have to keep the lamb for 4 days, 5 days. All right. Then, if they count the days, what are they doing with the lamb? They're examining the lamb as the lamb lives with them. They're examining the lamb for blemishes. So the same thing happened in the 5 days that Jesus was in the temple. He rode in this week, right? This Sunday, today. And then this week is Good Friday. He'll be crucified at the end of this week. But then what happened the 4 days here? Tomorrow is 10th of Nisan. By the way, on the Hebrew calendar, tomorrow is 10th of Nisan. Okay? And it starts this evening. And for 4 days, he was being asked by the Pharisees, by the Sadducees, and then all kinds of questions. Finally culminating in one question in one day during that week. And the question was the deity of Jesus. Jesus asked them, why is it? Who do you think of Jesus? That's a good question to ask your friends. Who do you think of Jesus? Right, don't argue about anything. Just who do you think of Jesus? Who do you think Jesus is? Jesus asked them the questions. Who do you think Christ is? This was the last thing that they confronted him with, because the Bible says right at the end, they asked him no more questions. In fact, the Bible says like this, they dare not ask him any more questions. So this was the last thing that ended everything. He says, who do you think of Christ? Then they look at him. He says that he's David's son, right? Or the son of David. Then Jesus is saying to them, he's correcting their idea that the Messiah is just a man, but he's also God. Then Jesus says, then why did David, if he is a descendant of David, the father is always greater, right? Your grandfather is greater than you, in a sense. Am I right? All right? In terms of status, right? He says that, why did David call the Messiah that came from his line, why did he call Messiah my Lord? The Lord said to my Lord, David said, sit on my right hand. The Lord said to my Lord, sit on my right hand. David says of Jesus, the Lord said to my Lord. He calls the Messiah. How come he's the son of David, but David called him Lord? They knew he's referring to deity. Just like when he says, before Abraham was, I am. They pick up stones to stone him. They knew. You don't understand? They understand. He's claiming he's God. When Moses asked the question, what is your name at the burning bush? God says, I am. Same name, I am. Not I will be, not I was, I am. I am that I am. It's a blank check. I am whatever you need me to be. The lady that in the testimony needed healing, I am your healer. Can I have a good amen? Amen. Like a bit louder amen. 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 Like a wake me up amen. Amen. Okay, good. If you are single and you're looking for a man, a loud one. Okay, different meaning, okay? This amen is from the word, the Hebrew word for faith. You know that? Amen is the first word that it says Abraham believed in the Lord. Abraham amen the Lord in the Hebrew. Belief is amen, faith. You say amen is amen. By the way, Jesus' name, this thing says he, the amen, the faithful and true. He's called the amen. Praise the Lord. And he's the man. Hallelujah. So we see Jesus being examined. The Bible says when he asked them that question, they cannot answer him. And no man dare thus ask him any more question from then on. Okay? Exodus 12. Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be your beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Now, 9 plagues have come and gone. Today, as we look at our world, all these things are prophetic. When you look at these things, you think, okay, you know, it happened, and it happened at a time in their life that even Jewish people all over the world, and I was celebrating this in a Jewish home, a precious, precious Jewish celebration that, in fact, the greatest of all their celebrations in a year. And it is a story that happened of their deliverance from Egypt. But don't forget, before this, 9 plagues have come and gone. All these 9 plagues speaks of the seasons of the end times that we live in. You know what is the 9th plague? The last one, 9 plague before the 10th one. The 10th one is the Passover night. You know what is the 9th plague? The 9th one, number 9. You know what is it? Someone talk to me. The 9th one. What was it? Very good. Someone is not in darkness about this. Darkness. Darkness. And the Bible says in Exodus 10, God said to Moses, I'll bring yet one more plague. It's the last plague. And God says, to Moses, and Pharaoh has been hardening his heart, hardening his heart, hardening his heart, and keep on changing his mind. And the more you harden your heart, the harder your heart becomes. How many understand that? Okay? And then the Lord says, the last plague will be a darkness that can be felt. Literally, the words are there. That can be felt. So, the darkness came, but this is beautiful. It speaks of our time. How many can say amen that darkness is covering the earth? It's like people do not know their way around. My goodness, you know, things that are so basic, it's no more basic. Things that are common sense, it's no more common sense. Amen. In terms of basic morality, you know, right has become wrong and wrong has become right. I mean, the values, the systems, the thinking, it's a dark time in the earth. And we think we are progressing. We think we are modernizing when actually we are going back to where it was during the time of Noah's flood. Amen. Are you listening, people? It's getting dark. The Bible says one of the signs is the questioning authority, rebelling against authority. Everyone is an authority to themselves. And this is what, I'm in social media. I'm not against social media, but it all depends. If someone is rebellious, takes social media, it becomes a tool of rebellion. Amen. There's no more respect for authority. No respect for police. Police are all, 90% of the time in movies, police are looked upon as cannot think. It takes a criminal to think for them. Criminals are now exalted. Judas is being excused right now. Judas is a hero to many people now. You know, it's like the whole thing becomes so duh, and common sense is gone. It's no more common sense. It's just nonsense. It's sad. It's a time of darkness. But you know something? Show them Exodus 10. In this time of darkness, the people of the world did not see one another. Nor did anyone rise from his place for 3 days. But all the children of Israel, God's people, had light in their dwellings. So, while it's true, prophetically, we are in a season of dark season, right? Am I right? And before the ushering of the Lamb. And by the way, in the book of Revelation, his title there, again, is the Lamb. The most predominant title there, the Lamb. The Lamb stood in the middle of the throne, which means God is coming back again, culminating everything with the Passover Lamb. Amen. So we are now just before the return of Jesus. So it's a time of darkness, terrible darkness. But the Bible says the darkness will cover the earth and gross darkness the people. But the Lord will arise upon you and His brightness will be seen. His glory will be seen upon you. Amen. And all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. Now this is supernatural light in your family life. Supernatural light in your household. It is supernatural because if it's lit by oil lamp and all that, then the Egyptians also have access to all these things. Obviously, they can strike 2 flint rocks together, no sparks during that time. They light something, no fire. But there's supernatural light in your dwelling. Amen. In these last days, people, listen, the devil wants to attack your family life. He wants to attack the values of your children. Amen. He wants your children. You know, when your child is born, all right? She's a girl. Amen. But don't say anything. Let her just develop. She want to be a girl, be a girl. Want to be a boy, be a boy. No, you're the father. All right, God expects you to tell the girl you're a girl. A girl is, you know, it's so wonderful to be a girl. The mother can say, it's a beautiful thing to be a girl. For a boy, you're a boy. Son, you're a boy. And a boy is tough. Don't worry about it. You know, toughness, by the way, is not something that is not, it's not abusing your child. Kids, rough it out. Parents, allow them to rough it out a bit. Allow them to have a bit of letting off steam. They are boys, all right? Not rebellious, not rude, all right? But letting off steam. Boys must be boys. Jesus wasn't like making a scourge and then and saying, Barnabas, do it, all right? I don't know how to do it. All right, Judas, drive them out. No, Jesus himself make the scourge. Imagine, only a calm person. If you are very angry, was he bad-tempered, Pastor Prince, when he drove them out? Do you find the word anger? You don't find that. He made a scourge slowly as he looked at them. That means someone is cool. There's no written account that Jesus was angry, but he drove them out. Now, I assume he was angry. And anger is not always bad. When you are angry at injustice, that is holy. When you are angry at things, at people bullying others and all that, that is from God. Are you listening? He drove them out. Now, he didn't take the little rod, and then he goes there and says, hey, please take this and leave. Huh? Can or not? Can or not? Can I, please la. Not nice la, like that. You know, like the way we Singaporeans will talk. Can or not? Tomorrow can or not? Maybe next week can or not? No, the Bible says he overthrew the money changer's table. Say, bring these things out. This is my father's house. Make not my father's house a house of merchandise. Amen. He drove them all out. Are you listening, people?
Yes.
That's Jesus. So allow your child to be a bit tough. Teach them. They get their identity from you, not from these people. Don't let celebrities raise your children.
Yes.
Amen. And yes. Don't surrender your children's spiritual education. That's the most important. Their natural education. Because spiritual wisdom gives birth to all kinds of knowledge. All right, I can preach to you on that. All right, wisdom from God is the mother of all knowledge. And that's why Christianity started schools all over the world. You look at what is happening around the world. They want to influence your children. They want your children, but you got to have light in your dwellings, people. God is going to do that. Amen. Don't allow your kids to get by a murder. They say, everyone is doing it. Thank God you are special. Amen. Tell them you are special. I want to call it sanctified, holy, whatever. That's the meaning. You are uncommon. You are not like the people of the world. Amen. They want you to be like them because like stones are common. Diamonds are not.
Amen.
Amen. Tell your children that. Amen. Praise God. When they are still young and they don't feel like going to church, they are going. But I'm scared they'll hate church. No, they won't. In fact, they'll hate you if one day they are in prison and they say, you never stop me. You never say anything against what... That's the time they will remember. You don't really bother about them. But if you care about them, you will say something. And they are still under your roof, you tell them you're going to church.
Amen.
All right? Amen?
Amen.
No, I talk to them, Pastor. But they want to play with you know, toys and all that. Sometimes the toys, you can't even tell. It's a guy's toys, girl's toys. It's okay. Nothing wrong. I'm not against that. But identity comes from the parent, not from celebrities.
Yes.
Not from social media. Okay? Okay, don't take my time. All right. Light in their dwellings. Light in their dwellings. Are you all listening, people? Now, so right after Exodus 10 is Exodus 11. And God said something very profound in Exodus 11. God said this in Exodus 11. Turn to the next chapter. So we have the ninth plague before the final plague. All right, the death of the firstborn. And God says to Moses, I'll bring one more plague on Pharaoh and on Egypt. Afterwards, he will let you go from here. Speak now in the hearing of the people. Now, the Passover institution was spoken for the first time in Exodus 12, the entire thing in detail. This is Exodus 11. But referring to this, God said, I'll bring one more plague. You thought he's going to talk about the Passover, right? But no, look at what he says. After he let you go from here, when he lets you go, talking about the final plague, he will surely drive you out of here altogether. Speak now in the hearing of the people. Let every man ask from his neighbor and every woman from her neighbor articles of silver and articles of gold. Verse 3. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Moreover, the man Moses was very great in the land of Egypt, in the sight of Pharaoh and his servants and in the people's sight. Look up here, people. Again, in the time of darkness, God's people have light in their dwellings. And not just that, people. During this time, it seems like God is talking about transfer of wealth. Seems like. Now, am I reading into things or am I telling you the timing is all the same? And what is our timing now? Are we in the earliest part of the church history, the church life? No. Are we at the end of it? Yes. Are we at the place where in the book of Revelation, they say two bodies are lying in the streets of Jerusalem and every nation, every tongue can see the bodies. And 100 years ago, or maybe even less than 100 years ago, people would just laugh at that and say, nonsense. Amen. Now nobody is laughing at the book of Revelation when he mentions that. The Bible is always more modern than your head. And what we call modern is actually regression. Because you look back, rebellion and all that is all there. You know, let me just tell you this. When I see people making fun of police people, authorities and all that, whether it's on TV and all that, you know, I cringe on the inside. What our children are watching. Police people are always there to hinder your joy. They are problem makers. And they always, you know, they are always out to get you. Or even the government, the way we speak about the government, the way we talk about the government in front of our children. The spirit of the world has come into the church. The way we speak about our parents. There are kids calling their parents by name. I cannot understand that. Unless you're in a drama, you know, kin or something like that. But calling their parents by name, you don't allow that. The Bible says a boy called Abijah grew up, wanted to usurp his father's throne. Adonijah. And he wanted to usurp his father's throne. And the Bible says he was a handsome young man. His brother was Absalom. The Bible says this, his father never rebuked him at any time. The father never rebuked him at any time. You know, grace-based parenting doesn't mean there's no discipline. Even God disciplines us. And we thank God. We feel loved, don't we, after we are disciplined? Don't we feel loved? Oh God, I thought I can get me back. Wow, God really loves me, man. God really loves me. Kids that they're not disciplined, they don't feel loved. And I'm not saying abusing. I'm not talking about punishing. I'm talking about disciplining. And there are many ways to discipline. You discipline according to the order of the crime. All right? To the sin or whatever. But don't let anyone tell you that discipline is not love. No. Discipline is love. In fact, if you love, you will discipline. My wife disciplines me all the time. Amen. She loves me. Amen. No, I'm just teasing. I can say all kinds of things because she's not here. She comes to the second service. All right. So, look at what happened on the day itself. On the day, the next day, God mentioned about the Passover, Exodus 12, from verses 1 all the way down. But let's jump all the Passover for a while and see what happened to this. Was it fulfilled on that same night? Now the children of Israel had done according to the word of Moses. They had asked from the Egyptians articles of silver, articles of gold and clothing. And the Lord had given the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians so that they granted them what they requested. They plundered the Egyptians. Look up here. If you think that there is this, it's not fair, you know, ours and their favor on them. Listen carefully. This for years and years and years and years of labor without pay. Should put interest down there also. They are just getting their salary back. Are you listening? Have you been cheated? Have you been robbed? Have you been manipulated into making an investment or whatever, and then you find that, you know, let me just tell you this, a child of God, you know, be very wise. You know, God's way is always, he that gathers by labor shall increase. Anything get rich quick one, all right? Always should have the red light in your spirit. The Bible says, he that hasteth to be rich has an evil eye. The book of Wisdom says, the book of Proverbs. He that hasteth to be rich has an evil eye. He that gathers by labor shall increase. The sleep of a laboring man is sweet. I love all these verses. He that is diligent maketh rich. God's ways is labor. Amen. Are you listening? And then with the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich and adds no sorrow with it. Praise the Lord. And in God's way is tithing. Amen. Abraham tithed to Melchizedek, who is our high priest today at the Father's right hand. And tithing, the word rich is in the word tithe. The Hebrew word rich, aser, is in masar, the word tithe. So God's secret is tithing, gathering by labor and increasing. Amen. Never get rich quick scheme. Be careful of that. Are you listening, people? So this transfer is legal. God gave them favor. They're getting back their back pay, amen, with interest down through the years, amen. Some of their parents are no longer around, the slaves. They were slaves slaving for them for all those many years and never received anything. Now, in one night, everything came back. And what season is it in the world? A time of darkness. What season is it, people? Light in the house of God's people. Amen. What season is it? A transfer is going to happen. Now, you check, don't just listen to your pastor. You check the season, what I'm saying. Is this from God's word? Amen. So let's go to the next chapter, beginning of this chapter 12, and let's look at what God said. The Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, "This month shall be your beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month, Nisan," which is actually this evening, 10th of Nisan, "every man shall take for himself a lamb according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household." Say a lamb. All right, this month, God says, shall be the beginning of months for you. Now, you must understand one thing. Actually, all the while, their calendar starts with Rosh Hashanah. Literally, it does, right? Their calendar starts with, like, the new year. You know when it's their new year? Not in April, not in the month of Nisan. It is in the, usually September, Rosh Hashanah. That's their new year. That's their new year, by the way. Oh, by the way, I was checking, like, last year was 5778. This year, which is their new year, is 5779. Do you know that? 5779. Now, 57 is just means the year, all right? It's a 78 that has meaning. 79 that has meaning. This year, 79. 7 is the letter, 79. 70 is the letter ayin, which is the I. 9 is tet. The letter in the Hebrew alphabet is tet. And the picture of tet is snake. Ayin, the value of ayin is 70. Tet is 9, 79, which is this year. See the snake? And I was saying, see the snake. Now, I guess there's a lot of darkness around, a lot of evil things going to happen, and we will see it. Then God said to me, "No, son, the world will see the snake doing all kinds of things, and they won't even know it's a snake. You will see the snake on the cross, amen, the bronze serpent." Amen. Amen. Light in our dwellings, people. Light in our dwellings. Can I have a good amen? Okay, back to this. Anyway, that was free. "This month shall be your beginning of month." So they're supposed to start in Rosh Hashanah, which is actually the seventh month from Nisan. But instead of that, all right, God is changing their new year. God says, from now on, your new year will be, by the way, they still celebrate Rosh Hashanah. Okay, there's a civil calendar, but their spiritual calendar starts with Nisan. All right? We don't argue when they're supposed to start their new year. Just let you know that they have two calendars like the Chinese. Some people celebrate two birthdays. So good, no? Forget about getting two gifts from me. Only one. Amen? Pastor, you don't give me anything also. Hey, the word is the best thing I can give you. Amen? Praise God. Hey, you're learning fast. Not bad. Halfway during the sermon and you learn. Okay, this month show your beginning of month. I want to prophesy to you. Would you take a word prophecy from me?
Yes.
After all this, the same pastor who said to God, when God told him, all right, "Lord, what year shall this be?" He said, "The year of the latter rain." I said, "Uh-huh." And when my heart was like thinking to myself, Israel is in the 5-year drought. No rains. 5-year drought. And now you tell me year of the latter rain. Anymore? And he asked the Lord, any other theme? Let it rain. Just let it rain. They said, if this year the rains don't come, they will think I'm a false prophet. And the Lord says, so is your reputation? Okay, Lord, your glory. I will say it. It's very easy. Some of you follow people who call themselves prophet. I'm not a prophet. I've told you before, I'm a pastor. All right? Don't call me a prophet. There are those who are prophet. They even dress like prophet. You see them on YouTube and all that. They are teaching people for free. All right? Tell me, what did they prophesy that came to pass? Do they have a history of saying things that has come to pass? Those of you who have been in our church for some time, you know, I'm not saying this to brag on myself. I'm just telling you, all right, because I'm jealous over you. That you don't get fooled by people who are after your money. Amen. You know, some Christians get excited by Israel and all kinds of people come, invest in this, invest in that, invest in this. No, friend, the best advice is to ask the church. We know about all these organizations. We know about all these places in Israel. And I can tell you, some organizations are anti-Jesus. Be careful. Amen. They know how to present in front of you. But some of them really needs help. Yep. Some messianic places, they need the schools to be built. They need a truck. Yep. Come to your church. Don't do it independently. We have done our research. Amen. So, when I mentioned the year of the latter rain, okay? Right now, one of the latest news right now, show them the... Look at this. They use the word biblical proportion. Filling up. This is one of the latest news. Came from Pastor Benjamin, who sent it to me. Friend, it is amazing. This rain officially has broken just the Lake of Galilee. This is on the 3rd of April. Increased by 12 inches over the last 4 days. Look up here. When I was there, I've never seen rain so abundant. Last month, when the pastors and I were there, we were stuck in the museum. Yes. And found out that thousands of people were stuck also in the museum. Uh-huh. Everybody had to study whatever is in the museum. The rains were not just falling. They were pelting you. It was painful to be caught in the rain. It was really heavy, but we were rejoicing because, you know, I was rejoicing. I felt more relief because no more stones on a false prophet or whatever, you know. But let me tell you this, church. It's easy to talk about something and prophesy after it happens. A lot of people do that. And some of these people that you follow, amen, tell them to give you the word before it happens. Your pastor is to stand in one of the larger churches in Singapore with ministry that goes to millions, potentially through the social media and through the TV and all that. And yet, when he says something, everyone gets it in the same day. If he's a false prophet, everybody will know. Thank God. The rains came, right? So God has been faithful. So if I stand right, I said all that, to Jesus be all the praise and glory. I'm not asking y'all to acknowledge. It's not me, it's the Lord, all right? I just have to be obedient on what the Lord says. So if I tell you right now, this is from the Lord. Forget what has happened in the past. This month shall be your beginning of months. There's a new beginning. There's a new beginning, all right? You might have made some stupid mistake. You might have made some foolish decisions, all right? You might have done something that you feel like kicking yourself on. But let me tell you this, forget the past. The word of the Lord is, it's a new beginning now. And prophetically, I feel like there's not many Passovers anymore to go. You know, I feel like, you know, it doesn't happen this year. You know, I just know that we are in the end times. Israel is back as a nation after 2,000 years of exile. Amen. They are back as a nation. The world thought they were dead. No, God resurrected them. Isaiah says, shall a nation be born in one day? And it happened in 1948. They came back in one day. On May 15, 1948, they came back as a nation. 15 years, number 15, number of rest. Number 15 years after that, May 15, 1963, a boy was born to preach on rest. We are truly in the end times. All right? Not just my birth, your birth. We are all assigned for a time like this. You were brought into the kingdom for such a time as this. I shared with the leaders recently about predestination, about the calling. Even Paul was called from his mother's womb. Your calling is from your mother's womb. And yet he thought, so he has a zeal for God. He doesn't know why he wants to serve God, but he served God the wrong way. He was driving Christians away from their homes, into the dungeons, into jails. He even went out of Israel to find them in Damascus when the Lord met him. He was there consenting to the first martyr of the church death, which is Stephen. He was there. He could have stopped it. He has some authority. He became a Pharisee of Pharisees. But yet, there's something in him, a zeal, a passion for something. And therein lies your call. For this reason, you were born. Amen. Amen. Don't waste it. Don't waste it. And you know what? Do what you love and the money will follow. Don't always get stuck doing something you don't like. Amen. Pray to God. And you know, let me just tell you this. You know, God will fulfill your potential. Amen. Come back to the Creator. He knows how He made you. Ask Him, Lord, why do you make me, Lord? He will tell you. Amen. And your place of assignment is also your place of blessing. Amen. Of ease, supernatural ease. Of abundance. Some of you, you know, you're not looking deep down and saying, what do I really want to do? What is my passion? Now, if deep down your heart says, I want to break free from my marriage and all that, that's Satan. That's not God. All right? It's not from God. Okay? Okay? Peter asked Ananias, why did Satan fill your heart? So Satan can give a thought in the heart. But then the Bible says, Nehemiah says, God put in my heart to organize the people together. God can put in your heart. Satan can put a thought in your head. Usually God's thoughts are deeper. The one is more like lusts and desires and things like that, more superficial. You can tell. You can learn to discern. But deep down, that's where the Spirit speaks. Because when you and God are so intimate, you are joined. You're one spirit with the Lord. You know that? And that's where God whispers. God doesn't shout. But the devil will scream temptations and trying to draw you. That's why when you're true doing your temptation thing, when you're true, when sin brings forth death in your final, you get up with this feeling of blah, empty. Amen? Pleasures of sin for a season. It's not worth it. Sin will cost you more than you want to pay. Let me tell you this. And sometimes the payment still goes on, you know. But I thought, God, forgive me. God didn't send you those payments. It is the nature of sin. God has forgiven you, but some punishment of that sin. That sin comes with its own punishment. Like fire comes with its own burn. Do you understand? You cannot separate the two. And the pain goes on sometimes. Especially marital infidelity. The pain can go on for a long, long time. The distrust can go on for a long time. Pastor, yes? Just preach on Passover. Okay. This month shall be your beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. I'm not in a hurry to finish. All right? So notice on the 10th of this month, which is exactly this evening, all right, a lamb for a household. A lamb for a household. Now, it's not Passover yet. On the 14th is the Passover, right? 10 is the preparation. So a lamb. Say a lamb for a house. So God wants the whole house saved. One lamb for the house. Amen. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved and your house. The greatest thing you can do for your grandparents, the greatest thing you can do for your parents, your siblings and all that who don't believe in Jesus is for you to be saved, for your light to shine. Because of you, there is a big gap that's open to heaven for God's hand to come in and bless all your loved ones because of you. And I'll tell you one thing though. Whatever it is, no matter how estranged you are with your dad and all that, when they come to know Jesus because of you, in heaven, the gratefulness is eternal. Nothing else matters. Money, they fight over money. Siblings fight over money. You know, in heaven, they walk on streets of gold. This is what God thinks of gold in heaven. The way we think of tar, asphalt, for our road works. Speak to all of them. A lamb for a house. Believe on the Lord Jesus. You shall be saved and your house. Verse 4. And if the household is too small for the lamb, it is never the house is too big for the lamb. Jesus is greater than all our needs.
Amen. Amen.
It's never, you don't read, the lamb is too small. Somehow, the instruction here is, if the household is too small, let him and his neighbor take next to his house, take it according to number, bring in your friends, amen? According to each man's need, you shall make your count for the lamb. Now, first of all, go back to verse 3. That is a lamb. Say a lamb. That's how we get to know Jesus. First of all, we just see him. Okay, he's a lamb. A lamb. There are many lambs. Just a lamb. Next verse. It is now the lamb. Verse 4, the last word. Make your count for the lamb. The in English language is definite article. One and only. The. Okay? We get to know he's the only one. Then your lamb. Your lamb is now the lamb. A lamb is no longer a lamb. It's the lamb. And the lamb has become your lamb. Is he your lamb? Amen. Shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. So during these 4 days until the 14th of Nisan, all right, 5 days actually, they actually examine the lamb. They examine the lamb to make sure there's no blemish because it won't be fit. Why? It's a picture of Jesus Christ. He has no blemish. The Bible says in him is no sin. Amen. Inherently no sin. He did no sin. Never did any sinful action. Never performed or did any sin. He knew no sin. Amazing. In every dimension, he is sinless. Amen. Verse 6. Now you keep it until the 14th day. And you all know the story. I won't continue because you all know it. Now I just want to share before closing what I have on my heart. Especially the part where it says, God actually mentioned specifically, we don't emphasize. God says, there'll be a transfer. Amen. Right? In the same night. Now this is very interesting. Wow. In fact, God said that to Abraham. Abraham brought Isaac. Isaac brought Jacob. Jacob brought his 12 sons and then they went to bondage in Egypt. Right? So Abraham, long before, the first person, God spoke this promise. And this is what God prophesied to Abraham after he gave tithe to Melchizedek. And Melchizedek blessed him and with the bread and the wine. The very next chapter, and I believe strongly the key is here. God said in Genesis 15, God said to Abram, know certainly your descendants will be strangers in a land that's not theirs and will serve them and they will afflict them 400 years. So 400 years of back pay, you know, came to them in one night. Also the nation whom they serve, I will judge. Afterwards, they shall come out with great possessions. So it was God himself who said, when they come out, referring to the Exodus from Egypt, on that night, when they come out, God says, they'll come out with great possessions. They won't come out poor. They'll come out rich. Amen. Did you hear that? Wow. I believe we're going to get raptured rich. Amen. Now, here is where the fear of preaching this comes in. They go, oh, you're health and wealth people. Health and wealth gospel, number one. Hello. Health and wealth is not the gospel. Wrong. Okay? Gospel of grace. Gospel of grace. But even in the early church, in Acts 4, you look at the early church. With great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. What do you think happened there? Miracles of health, miracles of healing. Would you think so? A great part of it, great power? Come on, miracles of healing, we see that all the time. Amen? Casting out devils, depression, release from people. Amen? And great grace was upon them all. It's a church that preaches great grace, isn't it? And we preach it greatly, don't we? Amen? Nor was there anyone among them who lacked. Amen. So the early church was like that. Amen. People came, they sold, you know, whatever it is, the properties and all that. That's why Ananias and Sapphira, they won't park themselves in a church that is poor. Right? A church that is abundantly supplied. Listen, look up here. You always find in the social media things like that. You know, your pastor is a wizard. He's a heretic. You know, he is a health and wealth gospel, that kind of thing. I really don't care what they say about me. You know, I know that you know God's word. I'm showing you exactly. Did I say that did I put things in God's mouth or God said on this night they'll come out with great wealth, great possessions? Amen. Didn't I? Okay, let's go on. Let's not worry about people. Let's preach the truth. Because some of you need this because whatever you have light on, you can believe God for. And when you believe God, the area of supply will flow in. Amen. Amen? Amen? It's a new beginning. Amen. It's a new beginning. There's a spirit of intimidation on the church. Don't preach health. Don't preach healing. Don't preach, by the same token, don't preach healing. Don't preach prosperity. Now, we don't believe in prospering for your own selfish, greedy self-aggrandizement. We're not talking about that. We're talking about being a blessing.
Amen.
Amen. Being a supply, not a dead sea, receiving and never giving out. Being the Sea of Galilee, teeming with fish. Amen. But supply must come in for supply to go out. Amen. Be a blessing, praise the Lord. The land flowing, not the land of milk and honey, but the land flowing, idea of abundance. The promise is there's a transfer going to happen. When will it happen? It seems to indicate after the darkness, in the final plague. God says, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you that night, right? It's the blood of Jesus that saves us. But something else happened that night. That's why they came out. Psalms 105 says, He brought them out with silver and gold, and there was none feeble among His stripes. Y'all know, I always emphasize, there was none feeble among His stripes. We take communion. Today is a form of the Lord's Supper is a form of Passover. It was first instituted on the night of the Passover, the Seder meal. Amen. They partook of it. And notice when they came out, none feeble. But don't forget the first line. It seems like the spirit of intimidation don't want us to read the first line. Amen? But let's break it off us in Jesus' name. Oh, yes. He brought them out with stones and pebbles. He brought them out with merely enough clothing for their bags. No, brought them out with silver and gold. You don't understand what silver and gold? Ask your wife. Dear, that's the one you never get me. Not zirconia. Silver and gold. So, now, like it or not, when you look at this verse, you're going to accuse God of saying, wealth and health, up to you. All right? But here it's very clear. It's going to happen in the last days. And I believe one of the ways it happens, Proverbs 13, real quick, Proverbs 13, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, but the wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous. The wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous. Stored up for the righteous. Do you know that sinners are working really hard, overtime and all that, but they're storing it up for the righteous.
Amen.
Amen. Frustrating, right? If you are not on the right side. Solomon says it in Ecclesiastes 2. God gives wisdom and knowledge, joy to a man who is good in his sight. You better know you are good in his sight. You are in Christ. How good can that be? Amen. But to the sinner, he gives the work. To the sinner, that the sinner has the work. They have a ministry from God. Amen. To the sinner, he gives the work of gathering and collecting, that he may give to him who is good before God. This is frustrating. This is vanity and grasping for the wind for them. Proverbs 18. Is it 18? 28. Yes. One, I recover real fast. One who increases his possessions by usury, that's interest, all right? And extortion will gather it for him who will pity the poor.
Amen.
I pity the poor. Pity the poor. Do you pity the poor? Then people, there are a lot of people out there, when you admire them on social media, whoa. You know, and envy starts, eyes off Jesus, feeling like you, born in the wrong time, wrong family, wrong place, you know. That's why it does. Even though you don't watch it, the first thing you grab is a Facebook, all right? Some good, some bad, some good. It's the knowledge of good and evil. You're feeding from the wrong tree and you're wondering why you're depressed. Why you are fearful? You're feeding off the wrong tree, bro. In the day you eat of it, you shall surely die. And you're experiencing death. It's not just the knowledge of evil. You know, you look at it, knowledge of good and evil. Amen? I didn't say Facebook is evil. I didn't say that. All right? Don't do things to me, okay? All right? Amen? Because I don't want God to do things to you. The thing is that Facebook is just neutral, right? But the knowledge that's in it, not just Facebook, social media, whatever it is, the knowledge that's put on there is both good and evil, right? But God didn't tell us to live by it. It's deadly, knowledge of good and evil. Knowledge of good will kill you as fast as knowledge of evil. Feed on Christ. Feed on Christ. Amen? When I was, I told you just now that what impacted me a few days ago at the Passover meal, the Seder, was that I finally got to see the, I don't know, it was there all the time in the other Passover meals that I attended. But this time around, for some reason, the ambassador talked about it, the rabbi talked about it, that there is a, what you call matzah bread, matzah tosh, they call it, which is a linen cloth that has three compartments in it. Very interesting, because all over the world, the Jewish people have been practicing this for years. It is not in Exodus 12. I don't know where they got it from, but listen carefully. Out of these three bread, there are three compartments. Each one has one piece of bread, matzah bread. You know what they do? They say that, and the rabbi says, we take the middle one out. The middle one out of the three. And the middle one is broken. And then, this middle one, this piece, is put in linen cloth. And they took him down. And Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus wrapped him in linen cloth. You ask them, all right? The Jewish people explain that this is the Moses, Levites, and the priests, or the Kohanim, and Israel, rather, sorry, not Moses. Priests, Levites, and Israel. Okay? But again, why take Levites and break? It is not that. It is the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And the second one is taken and broken and wrapped in linen cloth. And you know what they do? There's a ritual. There's a ritual. They will keep it somewhere. And this is explained by the ambassador. She told all of us about this ritual. It's really fun for the kids because the leader will hide it somewhere. Later on, the children will have to find. They have to find. And whoever finds that piece, by the way, that piece is called afikomen. And it's not a Hebrew word. It's a Greek word. And any kid that finds it and is the first one to bring it to the leader of the family, right, will get a great gift. When they find Jesus, because you know what? For them, He's hidden. The Messiah is hidden. For us, He rose from the dead. Amen? And those who find Him get a gift. Wow. The gift of eternal life. Amen. Forgiveness of sins. Amen? Favor with God. Like God gave favor to the children of Israel. See what happened? The transfer took place. But don't forget the word favor, favor, favor. The Lord gave favor. God can give favor you. How does transfer going to take place? I don't know. All right? One thing can be wealthy sinners are saved. But it will all be legal. Another thing, the favor comes on you. Your boss just likes you. In fact, I see that as the predominant. When you ask, you receive. Amen. It's going to happen in the last days. And listen, you know, it won't be illegal. It'll be perfectly legal. We don't manipulate it to happen. We let God just let it happen. All right? Now, I'm one person whose heart is, you know, not into this kind of, teaching this kind of things. But I can, it'll be remiss for me to see it again and again from the Lord and not and just pretend it's not there. Just for the fear of being criticized. You have to check the scriptures for yourself. There's more than one scripture. And when will all this happen? Let's close with this. Let's show them James. Now, these are wicked rich, not righteous rich. You know, righteous rich are people like Abraham, right? People like David, they are righteous rich. Doesn't mean rich people are evil. Don't ever have that thought. I want to bring this to a close. Come now, you rich, weep and howl for your miseries that are coming upon you. This is wicked rich. They are abusing the people. Later on, you keep on reading, they keep back their salaries. That's rightful, the workers. Your riches are corrupted and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver are corroded and their corrosion will be a witness against you and will eat your flesh like fire. Look at the last line. You have heaped treasure for when? When is the season? For the last days. Are we in the last days? Drop down. So again, talk about 4 and 5, how these people have robbed the reapers. Right, it's a husbandry kind of society, right? These are people who are not being paid, and their cries have reached the Lord of hosts, Sabaoth. You have lived on earth in pleasure. You have fattened your hearts for the day of slaughter. Drop down, verse 7. Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. When I saw this, I'm telling myself, whoa, it's going to happen in the season of the latter rain.
Wow, amen.
Cannot be early, right? Because early has happened already, latter rain. Do you see that? Be patient also. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. But before the Lord comes, the transfer must happen, right? When you go to heaven, shoo, you go up to heaven, right? You don't need the transfer anymore. You understand not? You have been transferred to a place of complete prosperity. Amen? Those who have a problem with prosperity, they already have a big problem up there. God, I didn't know you were this kind of God. You know, if poverty is holy, everything in heaven is decrepit, broken down. You know, secondhand. But it's not. God doesn't want money to have you. God doesn't want money to be an idol. Amen? God is saying, whatever you've been cheated of you is a new beginning. Don't try to get it back through manipulation. Don't try to get it back through lying, cheating. If you have to cheat to get more money, you have to exaggerate. Amen? Slide in. You call it a white lie. It's still a lie. That means you're not trusting God. If you have to resort to those things, you're not trusting God. Be patient, brethren. The transfer is going to happen. Before the rapture, there must be this transfer. God works in patterns. That's what he did. The darkness, but then the encouragement for families, light in all their dwellings. And then the Lamb will come back to emphasis again. Jesus is the Lamb of God in the book of Revelation, right? The Lamb is coming for us. But before that, there must be a transfer. There must be a transfer. Can God trust you? Yes, Pastor Prince, God can trust me. Have you trusted God when God gives you something? Have you trusted a portion to go back to Him? We call it the tithe. Amen. I'm not telling you to tithe. I'm just telling you God's ways. Because when God spoke this to Abraham, the chapter before that was Abraham tithe to Melchizedek. Then he had a dream where God says, your seed will come up with great possessions. And it talks about when Abraham tithe, his seed was blessed. Read Hebrews 7. How your descendants in him were blessed in the father Abraham. It's amazing. Tithing affects generations. Amen. Do I have to tithe? You don't have to. You get to. If you have a revelation. Amen. This is not my message, you know. It's Passover. All right? God is my witness that one of the last things I want to preach on is on anything to do with money. I just love to preach about Jesus. And it's all Jesus, right? Amen. Can I have a good amen?
Amen?
By the way, that middle bread that they break is the last bread they'll eat. The last person they will feed on Israel will be Jesus Christ. He will return for them. By the way, that bread that they hide is called afikomen. Amen. Not a Hebrew word. It is a Greek word. And the word actually means I, in the aorist tense, I have come. Think about it. They call it afikomen. All over the world, they call it afikomen. It's actually I have come. A lot of people believe that this ritual goes all the way back to the early church when they practice their Passover. And they included this. Isn't God amazing? They're going to give Jesus the praise. Hallelujah. All the people said. Every head bowed, every eye closed all across this place. Friend, just give me just a moment of your time, because if you walk up just at this time, you might affect those who are praying. Let's pray this prayer first. I want those of you who put your trust in Christ, remember Christ died for our sins and rose from the dead for your justification. You are justified when God raised Jesus from the dead. It was because you were justified. All the sins that Christ took, your sins that Christ took on that cross in his own body have all been put away. The blood of Jesus has washed you clean. You are now the blood-bought child of God. And your Redeemer says, welcome home. Amen. I did all this for you. He will see the spoils, which is actually you. You are Jesus' inheritance. Rich as he is, no one can be richer than Jesus. You are actually called God's inheritance. He loves you. To have you is to have universes, and Jesus himself cherishes you, that he thinks that you're so worth it for him to come down, suffer at the hands of men, and die at the cross, suffering at the hands of God when he became our sin all because He loves us. And God loved you and God sent Him to die on the cross. And God raised Him on the third day. So friend, if you are here, you want that forgiveness of sins, you want that eternal inheritance to be yours, you want to be pronounced righteous by God, put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ right now and pray this prayer with me from your heart. Say, Heavenly Father, I confess with my mouth, from my heart, Jesus Christ is my Lord. And I believe that all my sins that He took at the cross have all been put away. Not a single vestige remains. You raised Him from the dead because my sins have been put away and I was declared non-guilty. Jesus Christ is my Savior, my Redeemer. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Now you're a child of God. You're a candidate for the transfer. More than that, you're a candidate for the rapture. Amen. You are righteous in God's eyes. You are now righteous. Stand to your feet. Praise the Lord. Lift your hands all across this place. This coming week, the Lord bless you and everyone that's watching this everywhere. The Lord bless you and your families with the richest blessings of Father Abraham, with the blessings of Deuteronomy 28, and every blessing that the high priest pronounces over his people. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord preserve you. You're coming in, you're going out, you and your family members. The Lord preserve, protect every one of you from every danger, from every infection, from every disease, from all the power of the evil one throughout this week. The Lord causes you to see more and more the Lord Jesus Christ, the wonders of His person, His peerless beauty, and the glories of His excellencies more and more this week by the power of the Holy Spirit. And the Lord grant to everyone under the sound of my voice right now, the Lord grant you and your loved ones His shalom, peace, and well-being. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You are dismissed.
If you have just prayed the prayer to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we want to welcome you to a new life filled with the goodness and abundant grace of Jesus. To help you begin this journey, we would like to bless you with an ebook titled The One Thing, 31-Day Devotional by Pastor Joseph Prince. Receive daily bite-sized inspirations of the favor, healing, and provision that God has for you. Simply log on to josephprince.org/salvation and download your free copy today. Get ready to experience the amazing love of God.
The reason why no evil befalls you, the reason why no plague comes near your family is because He shall give His angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways.
Get your copy of Activate Your Angels, Experiencing Divine Protection as a thank you for your gift of any amount to the ministry today. In this two-sermon audio series, discover how you can live unafraid. See how God wants you to leave home every day confident that you are completely protected. Request your copy today, and you will also receive a free bonus 2020 wall calendar. And for a specific gift to the ministry, you will also receive this exclusively curated gift set that includes an essential Bible study kit, as well as Joseph's brand new book, Eat Your Way to Life and Health. Get ready to dive deeper into the Word with Joseph in this exciting revelation-packed study kit. This kit includes many valuable resources that will help you access, apply, and activate God's 24/7 protection. Start each day anchored in God's promises of protection for you and your loved ones. Don't miss this limited time offer. Get your copy now at josephprince.org or call us toll free at 877-901-4300.
For centuries, man has tried to get healthier, get stronger, and live his best life by changing what he eats.
What if I told you there was an all-natural plant-derived oil?
There is a food trend quietly sweeping the country, changing our outlook on what we eat.
But how can we tell truth from trend? In Joseph's latest book, Eat Your Way to Life and Health, you'll discover how the Holy Communion releases the health-giving power of the Lord's finished work into your body every time you partake.
My friend, the world can offer diet plans and nutrition tips, and I'm all for eating well and exercising. But the Holy Communion is so much more than that. It's not just another diet plan.
It is the very power of the Lord's finished work released into our bodies every time we partake. Ever since I started preaching strongly on the communion about 20 years ago, people from all over the world have written to me to share their healing testimonies. An elderly man suffering from Alzheimer's disease, with no hope of recovery, was completely healed. The Lord restored his mind through the Holy Communion, and his wife is overjoyed to have him back. Another brother wrote in to share that through the partaking of the communion, his youngest son, who had a 17-degree curve in his spine, was completely healed. Latest x-rays show no trace of the scoliosis he used to have, and his spine is now completely straight. These are just two of the many testimonies that I share in this book, including my own. I want to invite you on this journey. As you partake of the Holy Communion, I pray that you will experience the Lord's healing and restoration more and more. God bless you.
Joseph Prince's brand new book, Eat Your Way to Life and Health, is now available. Call us toll-free at 877-901-4300 or visit josephprince.org/newbook today.
Contact with Pastor Prince about 8 years ago.
Absolutely.
On television about 12 midnight. It was outstanding. Never in my life have the Word of God been revealed to us like it has been.
Absolutely.
Through Pastor Prince.
We got to bring the gospel back. You know what, people? Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So what is the truth that will set you free? Christ is the truth that will set you free.
It has been a tremendous walk. The liberty and the freedom to love, the freedom to live, the freedom to be who God has called me to be has been more than I can articulate. It's not about the man. It's the message in the man that God has put in there. And we are here to stand to say that God is alive, rich and well, and so am I.
Joseph Prince Ministries is a Section 501c3 nonprofit organization, and your gift is tax deductible for the amount that exceeds any fair market value of the materials you receive from us.